This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 308, I think. And the Ozarks is in the middle of a cold snap. For us, this is cold. I was driving in to have breakfast with a friend this morning, and I looked down at my phone, and it said, -3. And I thought, come on. However, we have been talking about the fact that we really haven't gotten a good cold snap this year. And we do like to get a good cold snap, because it kills off some of those pesky bugs. So I can't complain too much. We are supposed to warm up here a little bit. I don't know if it's tomorrow or not sure. I'm going to check the weather real quick here, but it really doesn't matter. But anyways, right at the moment, and this is at 5 o'clock in the evening, it's 20 degrees here, which that's usually a low for us, and that has been our high for today. So I am putting on my gloves because my steering wheel is cold. But it's been a good day. I have had to truck back and forth between the building where I work and the main building at my main clients today a couple of times because I had meetings. But thank God the meetings went well. We had the first of our deep analysis for our expert system today. We had that first meeting today with the users who are going to be primarily involved in helping us build that expert system. And, you know, that can always be a little touch and go if the data that we need to figure out is complicated and the user community is struggling with trying to get their arms around it. But meeting went well. They seemed to be able to embrace what we needed to do and understanding why we needed to do it. And so we made some good progress. It's the first of many meetings. I actually set out 50 hours to get this done, and this was only the first two-hour meeting. So we're going to have plenty to do. But that's okay. We'll work at their pace as they are available. You know, we'll just work at their pace. And good people are good people to work with. So it's good. That's all good. Got to help out a buddy downstairs today with a little SQL query. So that's always fun to, go down and just have like 15-minute, let's try to do this. Okay, So it's always fun to, because sometimes they come up with some pretty interesting SQL statements that they need to write. And so I scribble on the board, draw a picture of it, and say, okay, we need to do this. So that's fun. I have finished my third read-through on the second book in the Windfall series, Windfall Broadcast. And so I think I'm good. I need to do a technical edit at this point, but it's time to start on the cover. So yay. So we'll get started on the cover. I'd love to get started on the cover this weekend, but I don't know. I might be able to get the technical edit done tomorrow and then get started on the cover. We'll see. Then I have to find my granddaughter a Mary Mary Quite Contrary outfit so we can dress her up. So after I get the cover roughed in, leave a spot for her, then get a picture of her so that I can put her, in the slot there in the cover. So that's always fun. And then get it out to the beta readers. It's probably going to be a week into March before I get it out. So I'll be about 5 weeks behind on this, but shouldn't be too bad. I'm right now just going through all the possibilities for the next book. Got some ideas, but I'm trying to get them refined so that they move, So we have the potential for plenty of action and tension and all that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking my way through that. I thought I was pretty well squared away, but there's a lot of different possibilities, and so I'm just kind of looping my way through now. I'm
not really even,
listening to the radio as I'm going back and forth to work because I'm spending that time just mulling, you know, okay, we can go here, we can go here. How do we want to do this, you know? And so I'm trying to think several steps ahead for where we're going and how we want to not reveal too much and still reflect the diversity of all these different groups and what they might be able, might be trying to accomplish. And so it's fun. It's an interesting challenge to kind of continually think about the long story, the really, really long story, since I've got 24 books. So, and I mean, even I know where my hit points are, but even to get to those hit points, you know, what is the next piece of it? That I can give myself enough flex that even after I do this next piece, I've still got four more books to where I'm to the jumping off point of where I wrap up the first octet, the first eight books in this series. So it's very interesting. It's just going to be fascinating to see how this all works out. Anyways, so that's good. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think I mentioned last week that I've made the decision to get my teeth whitened. I have literally a big mouth. I have a full set of teeth, you know, in my mouth. I still have my wisdom teeth, and my it's just big. So I went down last Friday to get my teeth cleaned, which I always enjoy that, get all my stains taken off my teeth, and they all feel, you know, good. And so they had to put in the molds to make the little trays for me, and they had to get, like, the largest tray they had, and even still, they didn't actually get my molars in back, but they're like, eh, we don't really worry about whitening the molars all the way back, so your wisdom teeth, that's fine, not going to be on it, that's fine. Well, as it turns out, when they made the mold on my lower jaw, apparently it wasn't quite in there, so I'm going to run back down there on Tuesday morning, first thing, and they're going to do the molds again real quick. Just on the lower, so I'll have my trays ready when I go in on Friday. And then, not this Friday, but next Friday, we start the adventure. So I go in two Fridays in a row, lay in the chair for an hour and a half while they paint my gums and paint my teeth and shine this big light on them. And so it's oh, man. So this will be an adventure. Just to see, and so we'll see. But you know, my dentist is really sweet, and she's been wanting to do this for a while, and so I figure, well, you know, we'll just go ahead and we'll do this and see how it all works out. Anyway, so we're good there. Everything's good with the family, good with the grandkids, everything's good. It's good. Had a nice breakfast this morning with a buddy, and next week I got a couple of meals coming up with friends, and so those are always good days. This week, I had seen back when the Super Bowl was going on. I don't really watch the Super Bowl, except I did, you know, dial back in on YouTube a couple of days later and watched Katy Perry do the YouTube, the halftime show on YouTube. So I watched that. It was fun, you know, it was fine. I especially liked Left Shark, the whole viral thing of Left Shark. For those of you who don't know, Katy Perry did a halftime show. And as part of the halftime show, at one point there were dancing palm trees and dancing sharks up on stage with her. And, well, Left Shark apparently wasn't able to see out of his costume very well, and so he wasn't dancing very well. He wasn't like, you know, some people were saying that they thought he might have been drunk or something, but he wasn't. He was a professional dancer. He just, you know, didn't quite get it on. So it turned into a whole viral thing called Left Shark, and people doing parodies on Left Shark, and that's the internet, you know, the internet. I mean, never let it be said that the internet ever lets an opportunity go by to, you know, impose its will and its creative spirit on anything. So, Left Shark, the shark on the left side is what a Left Shark had its moment in the sun. anyways, so that was fun this week. Anyway, that was fun a couple of weeks ago. So, as part of that then, I noticed on YouTube that there was a video, and it was called something like Katy Perry, Super Bowl, and Satan. And I'm thinking, oh, man, here we go. So, I watched about 3 minutes, I think, of it. And I just went, oh, forget it. And I just shut it off. Because they were trying to say how Katy Perry had sold her soul to the devil. And so I saw another article about how Katy Perry confesses that she sold her soul to the devil. Because you may or may not know that Katy Perry actually grew up in a Christian home. I think a Pentecostal preacher's home. And she wasn't allowed to ever, you know, be exposed to anything but Christian stuff. And then when she finally was exposed to people who weren't Christian, you know, it spoke to her so much that she just went, hey, because she was trying to be a Christian artist and, in fact, had released a Christian album under the name, her real name, which is Katie Hudson. Or maybe it was her Christian artist name. I don't know. Anyways, it was under Katy Hudson, I believe. And so, but then she started hearing some other female singers that really spoke to her, and they were really secular, and she preferred to do that. And then, of course, she eventually went on to write I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It, and then, poof, you know, of course, you know, everybody's in, sinner, you know, and then she has said in interviews, she said in one interview that, you know, yeah, she came over into secular music and sold her soul to the devil. And they quote her in this. And granted, that's not something that I would joke about, but you can understand how she might joke about that. And on this Katy Perry, the Super Bowl, and Satan, one of the things they use to show, see, she's over on Satan's side. One of the things that they use to show that is an interview that she did with, like, David Letterman or something. And he was talking about her background. And he said something to the effect, well, those roots go deep when you grow up in Christianity like that. And she said, yeah, she said they do. She said the roots still go deep. And she said, they're still a part of me. She said, but the details change. So then they had to stop the video and freeze it and play it again. The details change, and put the big caption into the bottom. Ah, this kind of stuff drives me crazy. So, you know, they're talking about it, and all I can think when I'm listening to these people, these good Christian people, condemning Katy Perry, pointing their fingers at Katy Perry, in essence going, sinner, at Katy Perry, all I can think is that Jesus only had one group of people that he really lit into. He really only had one group of people that he singled out and insulted and took to task, and they were the people who were judgmental And they were the people who were bigoted about others. They were the people that walked into the sanctuary. And they said, I thank my God that I am not like this sinner. They were the people that were proud of who they were and were not afraid to point their fingers and condemn others. Now I know that a lot of people say, well, we have to call out sin and we have to, and I don't see Jesus doing that. Whenever you see Jesus encountering sinners, you see him very gentle. And when Jesus gives us a map for how we live our lives, in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about those who are blessed are those who are meek, who are peacemakers, who are poor in spirit. He goes on in the Sermon on the Mount to say, judge not that you might not be judged. Why do you say to your friend, you have a speck in your eye and let me get it out for you? When he said, you have a log in your own eyes. He said, better to remove the log that's in your eye first so that you can see well enough to help your friend with the speck that's in his eye. I interpret that to mean, don't be going around pointing your fingers at people, telling them how they need to clean up their act. What I see Jesus encouraging us to do is to love people and understand that God loves them. And for me, as I've said many times, it really comes back down to this idea of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19 that says, in essence, that God in Christ Jesus was reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them. And it's my fervent belief that our goal in this life is not to point fingers and condemn people who are not living the life that we think they should live, but merely to have an understanding that there are two paths in life, one that leads to life and one that leads to destruction. And if we have an opportunity after building a relationship with people to simply counsel them as Jesus counseled the woman taken in adultery, where he said to her, and I firmly believe he said it with this tone of voice, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, they've all gone. And he said, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. And I don't think he was saying, you sinner, you shouldn't be sinning. Don't do that anymore. I think what he was saying was, you know what? This life of yours isn't working out very well. And if you continue with this life, there's going to be destruction ahead. So it would probably be a good idea to quit doing this. And I think my role, I was going to say our role, but I'll just say my role. I feel like my role in life is to be a friend and to be kind and to gentle and be merciful to people. And if I have a chance after building a relationship with them and they're telling me about what's going on in my life and how that it's not working out very well, that I can then, at that point, having built a relationship, say, you know, it sounds like that the path that you're on is a path that's filled with destruction. And here's some ways that you can get on a path of life. And the buddy that I had breakfast with this morning, he's been involved in the Methodist Church for a number of years, and he's absolutely right in that the Methodists have a great approach to this. The Methodists do not try to drag people down to the altar and get them to say the sinner's prayer immediately. They don't do that. They just say, come be with us. Just come spend time with us. Because we believe that this is progress. This is a progressive thing. So just go ahead, come spend time with us. And, you know, over time, your life's going to start changing. I think that's a brilliant plan. We'll be your friends. We'll put our arms around you. We'll love you. And we'll help you. And we'll help you come to a better understanding of how to live a life of life and not destruction. And I think that's a really good approach. It does require for us to be patient and kind and not easily offendable. It does require that. But I think those are all the things that Jesus would like to hear from us. Now then, what's fascinating to me is in the midst of all these articles about, oh, Katy Perry's an offense, oh, Katy Perry sold her soul to the devil, oh, Satan, Katy Perry, leading us astray, in the midst of all those, there was an article that I found called When God Speaks to Katy Perry. And I think this guy has a lot of good things to say, and he related some incidences that I hadn't heard that it was good to hear. And I think he's close. I think he's still, he's still in that mode of classification. Us versus them. Sinners versus righteous. But, A, he brought up the right stuff. And I think certainly there's a whole lot more grace in his life than there is and a whole lot of people. His name is Carlos Rodriguez, and this was an article that he had written on February the 9th, 2015. I'm working up to my mail and kind of plowing through the little snow banks that we still have. I'm getting my mail, one moment. But he related, I thought, some really fascinating and interesting things about what Katy Perry had written about her performance at the Super Bowl. And apparently, just before, or before the halftime show of the recent and most watched Super Bowl, Katy Perry sent out a tweet to her 65 million followers, and her tweet was Psalms 118:24. Today is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay. Thank you, Katy Perry. And the other thing, I'm backing in my garage. Just a moment. And the other thing that she said afterwards was that she was praying before she was getting ready to go out for her halftime show, which, that's got to be something that's nerve-wracking. You're getting ready to go out with that many people who are going to be watching it. She said, it's funny. She said, I was praying, and I got a word from God, and he says, you got this, and I got you. She said, and then I was on top of the lion, and a random guy, just looked at me with a headset that I've never communicated with before, and he just looked me straight in the eyes, and he said, you got this. And she was like, and I was like, oh, this is God confirming I can do this. Now, okay. He goes on to document, that the religious critics were unleashed when she said this. They were sniffing for heresy, and how could God speak to such a sensuous and evil person? Of course it wasn't God. She's a rebellious LGBT defender who has abandoned the truth. She's, stupid, part of the Illuminati. All these people are saying all this stuff. So then he goes on to say, well, maybe it was God, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. He goes on to make a good point, about God being the God of people and Jesus. But he does note, which I think is another good point. He said, Katy Perry still has a tattoo that reads Jesus on her left wrist. She got the tattoo as a constant reminder of her religious upbringing, which will always be a part of her. In 2009, she told Katie Couric, "I knew I wanted this on me because no matter what, no matter how much change is around me or how much I change, there's really not an eraser for this." She says that when she plays the guitar, it stares right back at me. It's like, remember where you came from this, and you can always go back to it. Okay, you know, I really don't see the point in us doing things that are purposely offensive to someone and putting stumbling blocks in their way, as if calling them out and saying they've sold their souls to the devil is somehow going to help them get back to Jesus faster, because it's not. It's just plain not. And is that not what made Jesus so mad about the Pharisees? That when people wanted, when they wanted to get to God, that the Pharisees were, in fact, putting all kinds of stumbling blocks in their ways. Anyways, he goes on to say that, you know, in a 2013 interview, Perry said she no longer identifies with a specific religion but feels she has a connection with God. She said, "I'm not Buddhist, I'm not Hindu, I'm not a Christian, but I still feel like I have a deep connection to God." Great. She said, "I pray all the time for self-control and humility." That's the way you stay on the path to life, not destruction. There's a lot of gratitude in it. Just saying thank you sometimes is better than asking for thanks. Okay, so he says, "So I'm not sure, but I want to believe God spoke to Katy Perry. I want to believe he's still speaking to her now." You know, for me, it's not that I want to believe any of that. I believe that he is. I believe God is speaking to everyone all the time, whether they name the name of Christ or not, because that's the God that I serve. And the God that I serve easily does things like, before Katy Perry is going out for the biggest show of her life, says to her, "You got this and I got you." That's my God. So I think it's a good article. He does say at the end, which I think is good, he said, "I feel hopeful because I know that God loves his daughter. I know that he's been there when she's ignored him. I know that his mercy has been new through her brokenness and her shame, just as he has done for me, just as he has done for you. So let's join Sister Katie and declare with a smile, 'Today is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it.'" And, you know, the only thing I would say about this article is that the overtone, one way the article could be interpreted, is that God is still speaking to Katy Perry at times, but he's still a little distant and waiting to welcome her back. And I think God has his arms around Katy Perry, and he loves Katy Perry, and he's speaking to her every day. And at this point, you know what? He's not a God of syntax. Because either Christ's sacrifice did what Paul said it did, that God no longer counts men's sins against them, or it does not. And I choose to believe that Paul got that right, that God in Christ Jesus was reconciling, past tense, the world to himself, and he no longer counts men's sins against them. And what remains now for him is to encourage everyone to live lives of life and not destruction. And I know some people will say, "Well, then you must be a universalist." And as I've said before multiple times, the only reason I'm not a universalist, which I think that would be great. Who wouldn't want to be a universalist? The only reason I'm not a universalist is because I believe in free will. And I think if people say, no to God, then he'll go, okay. But I don't see, if what is being said in this article is true, I don't see that Katy Perry is necessarily saying no to God. I think what she's saying no to is organized religion, and I don't hold that against her at all. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.